Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night. We appreciate you joining us, talking about all facets of the paranormal. We also invite you to call in tonight. Our guest in the next hour here is going to be Patrick Burns from the television show Haunting Evidence on True TV. Feel free to call in. We'll put you through and you can talk to Mr. Patrick Burns. I want to make a quick mention again. Tomorrow night, Paranormal State, tune in. Dave Schrader's going to be on there. We're going to be out UFO hunting and having a good time doing the show. We're going to trying to follow it up next weekend with a NASA official who's going to come on and try to tell us what we're seeing in the skies over Trout Lake, Washington, and why it's so active there. Is it UFOs? Is it spy satellites? What are we watching? We're going to find out. Hopefully, get all the straight poop. So keep checking in, and we'll see what's going on next week. Also, if you're local here, remember to watch tomorrow Twin Cities Live on KSTP-TV. I'm going to be on between 3 and 4 tomorrow, Tim.
You know, it's interesting. My sister called me about that today.
Why?
She was like, Dave's going to be on Twin Cities Live? I was like, yeah. She said, are you going to be? I said, of course not. No, it's just Dave.
Oh, wow. That is so bitter. Wow, what a bitter little man. All right, we're going to go to our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our true friends in the paranormal field from the television show Haunting Evidence. Please welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Patrick Sonic the Hedgehog Burns. Good evening, Patrick.
How you doing, Dave?
Great, buddy. Thanks a lot. It was great spending time with you out at Mid-South Paranormal Conference again this weekend.
Yeah, it was a blast. I always have a great time at that event, and glad that you had a safe passage home.
Yes, very good. And I just got a text over from our friend Shay. His name is Kevin Grazier, and that's who we're going to have on the show hopefully next Saturday. He's a NASA official, and he's going to come on and spend some time with us. Now, Patrick, for those people that are not familiar with your show, why don't you give a little background and tell them what you've done in the past couple of seasons of the series and explain it to them?
Absolutely, Dave. Haunting Evidence is it's kind of a unique angle from as far as paranormal programming on television goes. I, of course, am one of the three stars of the show. I also work alongside Carla Baron, who is a psychic profiler, and John J. Oliver, who is a medium. And we travel around the United States and even around the globe now investigating cold case homicide and missing persons cases. And these are, of course, cases where law enforcement has pretty much run out of leads. You know, they've hit a brick wall in their investigation. And we're bringing John and Carla into these cases in hopes that they might be able to use their psychic abilities to warm up these otherwise cold cases. The show is going into its third season. We have a mini season. We filmed 4 one-hour specials for our third season, and those will begin airing this Saturday night at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific on the True TV network, which, of course, used to be called Court TV.
Right, but during the entire day, they're going to be doing a marathon of all the other episodes, right? All the past episodes?
They are. Great. Yeah, 14 of the best episodes from seasons 1 and 2 starting at noon, 12 o'clock noon Eastern and Pacific. So if you're not familiar with the show or you've missed the show, this is an excellent opportunity to sort of catch up on the show or, you know, get introduced to the whole premise of the show all day long. So, you know, get those TiVos ready to go. We've got 9 hours of Haunting Evidence coming your way this Saturday, October 4th.
Great. And that, you know, we're wishing you a lot of success and luck with that. And if you have questions for Patrick about the show and about the cases that they've worked on, you can give us a call at 651-989-5855. Now, Tim, not only is Patrick Burns one of the stars of the television show Haunting Evidence, mm-hmm. and also runs one of the most successful paranormal websites mm-hmm. and resource centers on the internet with ghosthounds.com. That's ghosthounds.com. There is also a very special thing about Mr. Patrick Burns we should talk about.
He's a technological wizard?
He is, and the fact is that he just turned the big 4-0. It's official in Atlanta, Georgia. It's an hour ahead of us. And Patrick Burns is officially 40.
So, I have I have been the big 4-0 for mere minutes.
Yes. So Patrick Burns from Dave and Tim, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Patrick.
Happy birthday to you.
There you go, buddy.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for spending your birthday evening with us here.
Remember, we do kids' parties, too.
That's right. And congratulations, 40. Big time.
Thank you very much. The very big milestone. Cool. Yeah. In fact, Tuesday, who's in the chat room tonight, was telling me that not only am I celebrating a milestone birthday, but it is a new moon. So I would imagine that has some sort of astrological significance. Hopefully,
it's a new moon on Monday?
I was just going to say that.
Yes, very Duran Duran of you, Patrick.
New moon on Monday. Hey, dude, it is Monday.
I'm telling you, that's very cool. Hey, I've got to...
That song is so going on the top of my MySpace playlist.
As well it should. You know, and aside from doing the TV show where they investigate crimes, Patrick has been a paranormal investigator, and we've had him on the show from time to time to chime in on different things and people, investigation-wise and techniques. So if you have questions about investigative tools, techniques, Patrick is kind of a techno geek. He's known as the Ghost Geek, and he knows all about cameras, video, different audio recording equipment, audio systems. So if you do have questions for Patrick regarding that, 651-989-5855. And we do have, it looks like, a caller on the line with us, Patrick. Let's go ahead and take this caller. It's Edward. And, Edward, you had a question about intruder dreams?
Yeah. I'm not really sure who else to... I figured you guys might be the best place to start.
Okay.
I'm definitely a skeptic, however, it's kind of hard to talk about, but I'm not really sure, I figured maybe if you guys had heard about it, or maybe if your guest had heard about it, then maybe it would give me some sort of insight into what, what I experienced or not. My real name is Edward, but I've given you a false name. It's somewhat kind of hard to talk about, but...
Okay, well, just feel free to explain to us what you can, and Patrick and I can try to weigh in on it and see what we can find out for you. And we do have some of the other experts in the chat room, too, that might be able to call back in and answer some more questions for you on that as well, and we'll get some more input on the show this evening. But go ahead. What's going on?
Well, I've been a lucid dreamer now for about... 10 years.
Okay.
And I was always kind of a, I don't know, ever since I can remember, I was always kind of a unique person. I didn't really know why, and I didn't really know how to explain it. And this type of feeling, I guess, pervaded like even like the first year I was born. And I was always, it's not like I was an unpopular kid, but I guess, and in fact, people were, even in like grade school, people were, they thought I was interesting and funny and whatever. It's not like I was bullied or anything. But I started having lucid dreams about when I was 25, and they were really, really profound, like just really, really significant experiences and very unique, and almost, they feel real. Of course, they're conscious dreaming and... they were very insightful. But I've had 4 or 5 what I call intruder dreams, and, I've Googled the term, and I've tried to figure out, of course, the Internet being such a vast resource of personal, experiences and pretty much any topic you can imagine. So I said, okay, well, there's no way I could be the only person that's having these type of dreams. So I Googled, the terms that maybe they would...
Sure.
That they described them as, and I intruder dream or stranger dream, and I've had, 4 or 5 of them, and they, in essence, they comprise a dream about my family or something very, very personal to me, and I'm actually woken up out of these dreams from someone who's actually trespassed on my property.
Okay.
And literally, physically, either one time they actually threw a rock at a window, and the window broke, and I woke up. Another time they hit my door, and they sound ludicrous. It sounds ridiculous, but
Now, let me ask you a question here. Are these prophetic dreams? I mean, do these actually come true, or is it just a very lucid dream where you realize that you're dreaming, but you just have a very vivid memory of it?
It's almost like significantly different than a lucid dream, because I've become very, very good at lucid dreaming. And it's almost,
and for our listeners, real quick, Edward, I'm going to make a mention. Lucid dreaming is where you have a sense of awareness in the dream that it is a dream, and you're able to manipulate your dream and kind of participate in it, as opposed to just being a player in this act. So I'm just giving our background to some of our listeners.
Right. As opposed to like a classical dream, which, you know, is what I, you know, just a good old fashioned
plays like a recording, essentially.
Right.
That's right. And, you know, to be more specific about a stranger dream, it's almost like a vision. And it feels profoundly different than a lucid dream or a classical dream. So much so that it almost defies description. Okay. It literally almost defies description.
Well, I'm not familiar with this term intruder dream, but I do know, you know, there are a number of people. I unfortunately am not one of them. There are a number of people out there that are specialists in dream interpretations, because a lot of what we dream about are metaphors for what are going on in our lives. I'll cite a perfect example here for you. Myself, about two or three times a year for the last 15 or 16 years, I have dreams about tornadoes. And you know, I thought it was weird. It's not the same dream every time. It's an almost lucid dream, but this is a central theme to these dreams, these tornadoes. It's always different circumstances. I'm always in a different location around different people, but I'll experience these tornadoes. And to people who do dream interpretation, a tornado is a metaphor for change. Turbulence, turmoil going on in somebody's life. And I'll tell you that is spot on accurate, because every time I start dreaming about tornadoes, there's some huge upheaval going on in my life that you know, that's just very profound and jumps out at me. So you know, that might be something that you want to look into. You might want to do some research on dream interpretation and find out what metaphorically speaking an intruder entering your dreams means. Now, the fact that these are lucid dreams, I'm not sure. That may have special circumstances attached to it as well. But I would start off by doing some research to find out what a prowler or an intruder signifies within your dream.
Well, what's interesting, though, Patrick, is that when he's in these rare instance dreams, I think what I'm understanding is the intruder isn't really part of the dream. The intruder is truthfully, there's somebody that happens to wake you out of these dreams.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
Oh,
right.
I understand. I'm
right.
Sorry.
So,
I missed that part. That's interesting.
Our host was very astute in saying that, because, you know, I've explained this. I'm very, very careful about who I explain these to, because, and, you know, this has been happening on for like 5 or 6 years now. And when I first started having it, the only way for me to cope with it was to talk to people, and I would really frighten people. And that was their first reaction, was they thought that it was someone in the dream, but then I would further explain, and they, you know, that's exactly right. It's actually someone that's on the planet that's actually trespassing.
Well, what I would guess, unless they're doing some damage to you other than trying to get you out, what my take on this would be, and Patrick and Tuesday and some of the other people in the room might have some feedback on this as well. And we'll get going, because we have to take our break here, Edward. But my guess would be that when you're having this dream, something is definitely influencing you. Perhaps the intruder, what you consider to be the intruder, might be more of a spirit guide or somebody that's trying to break you out of the lucid dream state, or out of this, not lucid dream, but out of this template that you're in.
Right, and that's exactly the way that I've rationalized it.
Right.
The dream. I was going to say exactly the same thing, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a really great book called The Nightmare Encyclopedia. It's written by Jeff Belanger, B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R. And Jeff, I would recommend that. You can contact him as well at ghostvillage.com and get some information about dreams. Also, visionaryliving.com Again, that's visionaryliving.com. That's our friend Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And Rosemary does quite a bit with dream interpretation and understanding as well.
Thank you so much for this.
Right. So she, those would probably be a couple of places for you to start with. And that's definitely interesting for research. If you want to email me at dave@darknessradio.com on that as well, Edward, I can try to forward your email onto a few friends that I have that do this and see if we can't get you some answers.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Edward. Thank you very much. All right, guys, stick with us. We're going to be back with more Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence. We'll be back with more of your calls, and we'll do more of that right here in the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening. Welcome back to Gotham City's Darkness Radio.
I like this music, Tim.
I knew you would.
A little bit of Batman music from the original movie, right?
Yeah.
Very nicely done. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. Remember to watch tomorrow on KSTB. KSTB? I'm so
their
congested.
Their sister station.
I'm congested like hell in here. KSTP. I'm going to be on Twin Cities Live tomorrow sometime between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, talking about the radio show, talking about some paranormal stuff going on in Minnesota.
Now do it in your Gotham voice.
Make sure to tune in tomorrow, KSTP.
That Gotham voice?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay.
But we'll be on tomorrow, so check that out. Have a little fun with us. You get a chance to actually see the face behind the radio, and you'll understand why I'm on radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, baby.
All right. We're going to go back to our guest, Mr. Patrick Burns from Television's Haunting Evidence. And, Patrick, again, the show kicks off this Saturday on October 4th?
That's correct.
Okay.
October 4th, starting at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Pacific. You'll be treated to a day-long marathon of Haunting Evidence, 14 of the best episodes from seasons 1 and 2. And then at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Pacific, we will kick it off with the first episode from season 3 that we filmed earlier this year regarding the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Wow. Now, how did you feel stepping up and taking bigger cases? And I will mention, we do have an 800 number now set up for people that are wanting to give a call in. If you want to try and give us a call tonight to talk to Patrick, 800-270-5560, 800-270-5560. If you're local in the Twin Cities, you want to call 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855, or 800-270-5560. So, yeah, this case is, I mean, you did the Natalie Holloway case last year.
Correct.
And with this season, you were getting in and you had some more high-profile cases that you're working on. Were you excited to be part of working with more well-known? Or did it, as an investigator, you know, we're always trying to keep ourselves kind of in the dark about stuff. We get a little background, but we don't want to edge the information that we know. And it's kind of hard because we've all heard so many stories. Were you afraid as a true-on investigator that Carla or John might be tainted in their knowledge and of having followed these news stories in the past?
Absolutely. What you're talking about there, John J. Oliver refers to as front-loading in psychics, and that's when a psychic goes into a case having too much prior knowledge ahead of time, hence the term front-loading. And John believes that psychic impressions, psychic vibes, come purely from the subconscious mind. And when the conscious mind is contaminated with too many details regarding a case, it makes his job all the more difficult because he has to stop and constantly pause and wonder, okay, is this a psychic impression that I'm getting here, or is this, do I have preconceived notions based on the information that I already have here? With these four cases that we took on for this season, like you said, they're all very high-profile cases. They all got a huge amount of media coverage around the time that they were hot news items. And definitely made, I think, John and Carla's jobs that much more difficult. I do recall distinctly while we were filming the Natalie Holloway episode that John would pause. I'd ask him a question about something, and John would pause momentarily, almost as if he was second-guessing himself. You know, is this coming through my psychic visions of what I believe happened, or do I have too many preconceived notions about this case, and that's jading my perception of what I believe happened here? So that definitely made a difference. You know, from a perspective for the TV show, taking on these higher-profile cases, I think – certainly will mean that our audience numbers will probably benefit from them due to the fact that, you know, many people are still very interested in the JonBenet Ramsey case. Many people are still interested in the Natalie Holloway case, you know, simply because of the huge amount of press coverage that they got. So it is an interesting angle for the show, but I think, you know, I think I actually, like you were getting at, Dave, I think I actually prefer taking on the low-profile cases, the cases that people may never have heard about, you know, cases that have sort of fallen out of the public eye, you know, either because so much time has passed or because, you know, it was a regional crime that went on in a rural area. And so these cases are actually getting a new lease on life, really, being showcased before a huge television audience.
Patrick, do you ever fear for yourself or your family's safety with dealing with these kind of crimes?
You know, Dave, actually, one of the two pilot episodes that we did for our very first season was a case that I brought to the producer's attention. And before I get into that, I just want to say one of the questions that people ask me most of the time, or many times, is, do we get to choose the cases that we take on? And the answer is no. I get leads on cases, and every time I get a lead on a case, I forward the email on to our production company, and they, in turn with the network, choose which cases we are going to tackle for the upcoming season. This particular case was the case of Tara Baker. She was a first-year law student at the University of Georgia, Athens, which is about 40 miles away from my home. It's very, very close by. Obviously still a cold case. I found out about this case from a friend of mine named Sherry, who actually worked for Tara's parents. And we went to Tara's grave one evening after a ghost hounds meeting, and we gathered around Tara's grave and attempted to conduct an EVP session. And during that time, Sherry had said, you know, this is still a cold case. And, of course, the light bulb went off. This is when we were still looking for cases for our first season. And I looked at Sherry and I said, do you think they might be interested in us possibly, her parents might be interested in us possibly doing an episode of Haunting Evidence? And she said, I'm sure they would be. They're trying to get as much media attention for this case as possible. And I said, well, I can't make them any promises, but if you want to gently bring the idea up to them when you see them on Monday at work, if they give the thumbs up, I will, you know, send some of the case details over to production and we'll see what happens. And I did that, heard back from Sherry that Monday. She said her parents are all for it. So I contacted the production company. I sent the information over. And 5 weeks later, we were in Athens, Georgia, filming the episode regarding her death. Now, I will say this, because of the virtue of the fact that it is still a cold case, and I live in such close proximity, you know, we're talking 40 minutes away from here, from where I live. Because I live in such close proximity, there was definitely a time there where I was thinking, you know, maybe I really shouldn't have gotten us involved in this. You know, this just hits a little too close to home for me. And, you know, of course, I have two young sons and a wife, and, you know, I've got to, you know, their safety is, of course, paramount. And, you know, anybody that's crazy enough to do a crime like this might see me or my family as a potential target. So there was a point in time there where I was, you know, I definitely had some anxiety regarding that particular case. You know, and to this day, I still do to a certain degree. Every once in a while, the network reruns the episode. In fact, I believe that episode will air this coming Saturday during the marathon. Then there was another case that we filmed regarding a gentleman in southwest Arkansas who was killed, and we believe there's a good possibility that the prime suspect in that case was actually watching us while we were filming, according to this young man's family that we were working with in conjunction with this case. So it was definitely, it has had its moments where, you know, I wonder, am I really getting, are we stepping over the bounds here of what is safe to do within the scope of paranormal investigation? You know, we always say in this field, fear the living more than you fear the dead. And, certainly it's always a possibility. Somebody that's that crazy, you know, it's certainly a possibility that's always in the back of my mind.
All right, Patrick, we're going to take a quick break. I do want to make a quick mention, everybody. If you've been listening to us on the Paranormal Podcast feed and listening to us on the iTunes, you're going to have to go over to look on the left side of the screen to the Darkness Radio link. Join us there, and you can resubscribe to the new podcast. We don't want you to miss out on any episodes, but we're going to be switching over to the new way, and that's the way we're going to be handling it. So please check that so you don't miss another future episode. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're speaking to one of the celebrities from the television show Haunting Evidence on True TV. It starts off again this Saturday, October 4th. You can check it out beginning at noon. And there's a mini marathon of the top 14 episodes from season 1 and 2. And then they're going to air the brand new episode, which takes place investigating the JonBenet Ramsey murder. Patrick, getting into the high-profile cases like this, too, what was there one case, or is there a case that you'd really like to get into that you have not yet, or which of the new four episodes was your favorite to get involved in film?
In terms of cold cases out there, we really nailed, I think, four of the most high-profile cases that are out there right now. Of course, JonBenet Ramsey. We also did Madeline McCann, who was the young British girl who disappeared from her family's vacation while they were on vacation in Portugal. We've got George Allen Smith, the gentleman from Rhode Island who was pushed off the cruise ship while he was on his honeymoon in the Greek Isles. And then we tackled probably one of the most notorious cold cases in the United States and in U.S. crime history, if not the most notorious, and that is the case of the Zodiac Killer from the late 1960s and early 70s. I think that the Zodiac case, probably among all of them, is the most intriguing because it has been a cold case for so long. Literally, the first murder in that string, the first known murder in that string of killings happened in late 1968, nearly 40 years ago. In fact, I believe I was a mere 3 months old at the time it happened. So considering I'm turning 40 today, that really kind of, you know, puts everything into perspective about just how long ago something like this happened. And, the older these cases we take on, the more intriguing I think they are to me because, you know, the older a case gets, of course, the longer, the more difficult it becomes to ever prosecute something. It's not impossible.
Right.
But, as time goes on, memories fade, evidence goes away. And, of course, there's also the possibility that witnesses and the perpetrator or perpetrators themselves pass on. We're talking about 40 years, ago. And I believe they said at the time the profile that the FBI drew regarding the Zodiac Killer pegged him as a male, Caucasian male between the ages of about his mid-20s and mid-40s. So if we're to believe that they've actually accurately profiled the Zodiac, if he was 40 years old at the time of the killing, he would be going on 80 now. It's quite possible that this man has passed on, or even if he's still alive, that he's in a state of mind, maybe senile, maybe suffering from other dementia, where he could not even stand trial. So with these older cases, you don't really have the opportunity of true closure in them by bringing somebody to justice. But by presenting different scenarios in these cases, I think it opens it up. And, of course, it's all going to be speculative. But, I think there's always a possibility that further on down the line, maybe they can connect the dots and and paint a picture that's a very likely scenario of what actually happened in these older cases.
Very interesting stuff. Is there a case, you know, the big one here in Minnesota, of course, is the Jacob Wetterling case. And, how does the show go about picking these kind of cases? Is there ways that people can send in tips and hints and places to look into? Because, like, the Jacob Wetterling case was, I mean, pretty big. What about Adam, what is his name, Tim, the guy from Adam Walsh? You know, there's still speculation about who killed Adam Walsh, which is what set America's Most Wanted into motion with John Walsh doing the amazing work he's done in the field.
Absolutely.
You know, has there ever been any look into, you know, possibly getting some more information on those cases?
Right. Well, like I said, Dave, I get leads all the time from people, wanting us to profile a case. In many instances, it's a family member, an immediate family member. In some instances, such as in the Tara Baker case, it's a friend of the family. In some instances, it's simply somebody who lives in a locale, like you just mentioned, has no actual connection to the victim or the crime itself, but is just very intrigued because it happens to hit very close to home for them. And in every instance, like I said again, I pass on the details, the case details, to the production company, and they in turn with the network will choose which cases we are going to profile on the new season. Now, there are a couple of stipulations. Number one, we do not take on a case without the permission of the next of kin of the victim, the immediate family members. That's the number one prerequisite. They're very adamant about that. They don't want to anger anybody by taking on a case that the family is still healing. We do not want to cause them more pain in profiling the case. And let's face it, if you've seen the show, you know that it gets to be a little dark, a little frightening, especially when we're filming we're showing the reenactments of what John and Carla are seeing. The show definitely has a dark edge to it. We definitely do not want to be adding more pain to the victims' families or loved ones by doing a show profiling, doing work that they don't want us doing. So that's number one. Number two, we try as best as we can to get law enforcement to cooperate with us within the scope of our phase of the investigation, to give us details that they feel they can release to us, and to basically give us the rundown in many instances, many of the episodes, of what they understand the facts of the case are as they understand them. And then, of course, at the conclusion of our investigation, we present a report to law enforcement with the case details in each episode. So, there's definitely criteria that needs to be met. There was one episode we did for season two that I was really excited to do. It's the oldest case that we've taken on to date. And this revolves around the Villisca axe murders in Villisca, Iowa. And it really surprises me how many people are not familiar with this case. To give you a real quick synopsis and rundown, this is a mass murder that happened in 1912 in the farming town of Villisca, Iowa, the home of J.B. Moore and his family, himself, his wife Sarah, their four children, and two young house guests that were staying with them were all mysteriously bludgeoned to death in their sleep by somebody who killed them using an axe taken from Mr. Moore's shed. Obviously, again, it's a cold case almost 100 years later. And the production company, they asked me, they said, Patrick, in keeping in line with the name of the show, do you know of any allegedly haunted locations that have a cold case tied to them? And this, Dave, is a a case, a location that I have been wanting to investigate for many years. And I didn't even have to think twice about it. I said, right. Yeah, the Villisca Axe Murders. And they were like, wow, Villisca Axe Murders, what happened there? Well, seven people, you know, got killed in the middle of the night, eight people, six of them children. Wow, when did this happen? 1912. And you could sort of see the smile, the excitement on our producer's face just dissolve. He's like, Patrick, come on, we can't do that. He said, it happened so long ago.
That's not even cold, dude. That's frigid.
Yeah, that's like frozen.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's like, there's no family still alive. There's no law enforcement still alive. He said, we're not meeting criteria. I said, well, you asked for a haunted location. And he said, well, we'll see what we can do, but probably not. And about 3 or 4 months into filming our second season, Greg Palmer, one of our producers, came up to me before filming an episode, and he said, hey, Patrick, I think we're going to take on that case in Iowa. And I got very excited about that and visibly animated. Because, like I said, I'd been wanting to investigate that location for years. And that is actually one of the episodes that will air this Saturday. It's called Haunted in Villisca. And that will be on, I believe, at 1:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. So that one was sort of an interesting departure away from many of the cases that we've taken on in the past. But in a lot of ways, one of the most compelling episodes of the show, I think.
We have to take our break here, Patrick, our final break of the evening. Stay tuned, everybody. You're listening to Darkness Radio with our guest, Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence. He is the modern man. He is Patrick Burns from TV's Haunting Evidence on Court TV, or I should say new True TV. You can check out his show, Returns to the Air, this Saturday, October 4th, with all new episode, the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. They've gone from a half an hour episode to a 1 hour special. And before that, prior in the afternoon, starting at noon, you can watch a great 14 episode arc of the best episodes from season 1 and 2. Congratulations on that, Patrick. And I hope that the show gets picked up for more. Is there a place people can email if they want to see more haunting evidence?
Yeah, actually, I believe programs@truetv.com. That's TRUTV.com. And don't quote me on that email address. It might be something else. There actually might be a form on the page. I know there is on True TV's website, come to think of it, yes, there is a feedback form where people can go and fill out, basically send an email to the station, what sort of a response they'll get, I can't guarantee, but I know that they do have feedback and they do listen to what the viewers are saying. So if you want to see more of us, definitely get out there, write those letters, and let the network know that you want to see the show come back for a fourth season.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think it's a fantastic series. I don't just say that because we're friends. It's a great show. You get a lot of interesting stories, a lot of human dynamic and drama to the episodes as well. Now, you guys take a lot of beatings, though, because the episodes go without some resolve.
Yeah, we really do.
You know, and again, that's not your guys' fault. You're not, you get compared to psychic detectives all the time. Why don't you address that? Right. How do you feel about...
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave. That's the most often asked question that I get by far. Nine out of ten questions that I get asked about the series are, when is there going to be follow-up? When is there going to be, a recap episode about what happens? When are we going to find out what happened? Well, my answer to that is the same as it's always been. When they decide to indict somebody, just because a psychic says that this is the profile of the person that they believe may have committed this crime, they certainly can't just run in with guns blazing in these instances, okay? That's not the way psychic investigation works, working with law enforcement. The psychic can give law enforcement a new angle, a new perspective to go at. An example might be, John, describes a profile of a person that he believes may have committed this crime. Maybe law enforcement says, well, that description matches somebody very closely that we fingered as a person of interest early on in the investigation, but we kind of ruled them out. Maybe we'll take a closer look at them. And maybe they do. And maybe in taking a closer look at this particular person, maybe they'll find something that they missed the first time around. So, the psychics take a lot of beatings for not solving, quote-unquote, the crimes. They don't solve them directly. As you said, we get compared quite often to our sister program on the network called Psychic Detectives. There's a fundamental difference about psychic detectives and haunting evidence that needs to be addressed, and that is psychic detectives episodes are entirely docudrama reenactments. Okay, there is no live on-the-scene video during the investigation that is filmed in any of these episodes. That's why you see the psychic actually answering the phone when law enforcement calls.
Right.
Okay, and by virtue of that fact, they have the luxury of profiling only cases that have been closed, that are no longer open, so they have a 100% success rate on the show by virtue of the fact that they're only profiling cases that are closed, and every episode is a reenactment. Haunting evidence is in a lot of ways opposite of that. This is John and Carla's first brush with these cases. And one thing that we never see on Psychic Detectives is the timeline. You know, due to editing, they are able to conveniently compress the timeline. And, you know, you don't really get a sense of how long the psychic had been working on this case. In some instances, I'm sure it was many years, maybe a decade or more, before they were finally able to come forward with an indictment and try somebody and bring them to justice. So, you know, it's important to realize that Haunting Evidence only premiered 2 years ago. It's hard to believe. It feels like sometimes for me it's been 10 years. But the show has only been on since June of 1996. Here it is June of 2006. I'm sorry. I'm a decade back here. That's just me wishful thinking that I was 10 years younger tonight. The show has been on for 2 years, so we've got an instance here where it's going to take time. People need to be patient. I know everybody wants immediate resolution, but that's not going to happen. And I know that as the years go by, as time marches on, more and more of these cases will be closed, and hopefully the show will still be intact, and, you know, we will be able to do recap episodes addressing what we got right in these cases and how we helped bring these people to justice.
Well, Patrick, yeah, we always wish you much success with the continuation of the show, and I hope that these four episodes garner you guys more episodes for the future. Like I said, it's a great show. People can reach out and contact and let True TV know you want more Haunting Evidence. You want more of John, Carla, and Patrick Burns, and you can do that by going to their website. Remember, again, this Saturday, October 4th, starting at noon Eastern, you said, correct, Patrick?
That's correct. Noon o'clock p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
And you can watch the mini marathon, which will show 14 episodes of this fantastic series. And
I also wanted to point out one thing real quick. Uh-huh. While we were at Mid-South, I noticed that the cable guide on the television in my suite, still had the network listed as Court TV. So if you don't see True TV in your program grid, look for Court TV. Your cable system or your satellite system may not have updated their grid, and they still may be calling the network Court TV, even though it is technically now True TV.
Good deal. Well, Patrick, thank you. Happy birthday, sir. It was great hanging out with you again this weekend.
Thank you, Dave.
Take care, and thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. Got some brand new shows. Remember to tune in tomorrow night to Paranormal State and watch me as I go investigate UFOs with the cast of Paranormal State at the Yosetti Ranch. Again, that starts at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow, local watchers, go tune on to KSTP-TV for Twin Cities Live at 3. Between 3 and 4, I'll be on there. And next week, we're going to talk to Kevin Grazier, who works for NASA, and he's going to tell us what I've been seeing in the skies over Trout Lake, Washington. We're going to experience this together, so tune in next week. Join us here, and join us every Saturday and Sunday for Darkness Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. Cold season has a way of showing up like an unexpected plot twist, right in the middle of big moments, good stories, and days that are already full. That's why it helps to keep a little comfort close. Kleenex Lotion Tissues help protect, soothe, and moisturize your skin, giving you the support you need right when you need it. Whether you're commuting, binge listening to your favorite show, or managing a little family chaos, Kleenex Lotion Tissues are made with coconut oil and aloe. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.